Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Just standing for a moment, that's a beautiful song that was written by our worship team here at Wetoto Church that reflects the heart of God for His church. Send us, Lord. You see, as the church of Jesus Christ, we are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. But that's not all. We are also set apart by God to be holy, to be His priesthood. That's what God does. But He doesn't stop there. He calls us out, He sets us apart, and then He sends us out. He sends us out into the world, into the darkness of this world, so we can be the salt and the light of the world. And before I get to share God's word today, I just want to read a scripture from Matthew 9, and we shall dive into God's word. In Matthew chapter 9, there's a description of how Jesus lived His life here on earth. It starts by telling us how Jesus found it. They brought a paralyzed man to Jesus, and He cared for that paralyzed man, helpless man. Not only did Jesus heal that man, He forgave his sin. And then Jesus goes on to visit a sinner. His name was Matthew. He was a tax collector. And the people began to rebuke Jesus and say, "How can you eat with a sinner?" But Jesus understood this song. We go to those who are out. And He sat at with them. Matthew became one of His disciples. And then He continues and describes how the Pharisees became so spiritual and began to criticize His disciples on fasting. And Jesus teaches them on fasting. In the next few weeks, we're going to teach you about true fasting. True fasting, my friends, is linked to caring for the broken. And then it continues when describes how Jesus, when someone had lost a loved one, a child, Jesus was invited and Jesus was broken. He was on His way to raise that little girl's life. But as He was going, a woman with an issue of blood met Jesus on the way. Being helpless for a long time, she thought, "If I can only find Jesus, everything would change." And she did. And Jesus stopped, paid attention to her. That's the Jesus we are talking about. And He continues, He talks about how He healed the blind and the mute. And then in Matthew chapter 9, I want to read from verse 35. This is how it says about Jesus. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. That's the heart of Jesus. Whenever Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Those who actually have a heart of compassion for the community, He says they are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. How many of you want to be sent out? Let's lift our hands. Lord, bless the reading of Your word. We thank You that our worship is an expression of Your heartbeat. And today, remind us that we are not just called out of darkness into Your marvelous light. We are not just set apart to be holy, but we are also sent out to carry a heart of compassion and care for the community. So speak to us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, 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 amen. You may take your seats. Can you help me appreciate the worship team for leading us in worship today? Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. I want to welcome all of you who are in the building, and also those who are joining us online and on air. You are absolutely welcome to our church service. And if it's your first time, we are absolutely delighted. Vanita and I have the wonderful privilege of leading Watoto. And it's such an honor to really have you come to be a part of church today. Very grateful to God for Pastor James and Debbie, who are your leaders here at Downtown, and all the pastors. We do celebrate you. Thank you, Watoto family. Especially for those who are here for the first time. You know, I just read that portion of scripture that describes a part of our vision. We use a tagline that is not just a tagline, but really it just captures everything we are about as a church. We celebrate Christ, but we also care for community. That part of caring for community is one that we want to start talking about in the next number of weeks. What it means to care for community. And that's what I want to share about as we start our message today. I mean, when you look at Matthew 9, it's not the only chapter. If you can just read through the scriptures and just watch, Jesus really cared for the community. He did. And if he did, then we too must care for community. So what does making caring for community an important subject for us to talk about? Why does it matter? Why must we not only celebrate Christ, but also care for community? I want to give you just four reasons that make caring for community important. Number one, you cannot transform what you don't care about. That is true of anything in life. The things you care about, you will transform. You cannot transform what you don't care about. But secondly, authentic community transformation begins with genuine love and care for community. And intentionally, I'm using the word authentic, meaning transformation that is real, not surface transformation. We have a lot of people who claim they are doing transformation, but it is surface. It is for show. We don't do acts of care so we can go on Instagram. So we can post and have many people liking us. Authentic community transformation happens when it starts from the heart with a genuine love and care. That's when transformation becomes authentic. I was challenging some people who are in the corporate sector. There's this idea of pushing the corporate sector to start caring for community through corporate social responsibility. It's a great move. Trying to say, hey, businesses, you benefit from community. Why don't you do something to really impact community? The challenge is that CSR becomes a program. It doesn't come from the heart. It comes from the fact that they are being pushed. You must have a policy. So my friends, if transformation is to be authentic, it can't just come because it's a program. It has to come from a genuine care and heart. Thirdly, lasting community transformation is only possible when it is rooted in a genuine heart and care for community. When I talk about lasting, it's also intentional, because transformation doesn't happen after one activity. It takes time. For you to actually stick on the journey of transformation for community, you have to have a heart. You have to be caring. This is what caring does. Not only do I do the activity today, I will come and check in tomorrow how things are. Why? Because I care. I don't just tick off a box. I challenge somebody that any act you do that looks compassion and it's for just checking a box, that is not giving dignity to people. That's not bringing dignity to people. So lasting transformation, if it's going to be real and authentic and lasting, it needs to come from a heart that genuinely cares. But the final one, and the one we are going to be digging on for the next number of weeks, is that God has a heart for community. The reason we care about community is because God has a heart for community. One time, Pastor Ken, who is our pastor for the marketplace here at Watoto Church, I was with him visiting a pastor. And we sat, he welcomed us in his home and served us tea and coffee. And I mean, we had pleasantries. So he asked, so tell me about Watoto. And we started to share about Watoto, about our journey, and especially the one of caring for the community. And we shared a number of things that God has allowed us to do over the years. And then after we'd shared, this pastor looked at us and he said, "Man, what you're doing is not what a church is expected to be doing." Wow. And so I'm like, okay. He said, "You know, as the church, we are supposed to be preaching, teaching, evangelizing people, and discipleship. This work of caring for the community is for NGOs and charities, is for the government. And so better focus on what you're supposed to do as a church. Preach, teach, evangelize, disciple." And on he went. Inside me, my blood was boiling because I was feeling like, wow, what kind of pastor is this? Pastor Ken saw that I was getting uneasy. I couldn't just wait for him to finish so that I take him through the Bible. And so Pastor Ken calms me down. And then he says, I love the pastor. It's good to go two by two because you compliment each other. And so he calmed me down. And then he said to the pastor, "Wow, I hear you, sir, about preaching and teaching and evangelizing and discipleship. We do all those things. But you know what? Jesus said, whoever cares for the least of these cares for me." That's what we are trying to do. That's all. We are trying to do what Jesus says. Many people actually carry that attitude, that when it comes to community, it is someone else's responsibility. But today, I pray that you'll get to have a heavenly perspective of why caring for community is our responsibility, especially as the church. And so I want to share from three perspectives, and they're coming from God's perspective, the triune God. What does God the Father say about caring for community? What does His Son, Jesus, say about caring for community? And what's the Holy Spirit's role when it comes to caring for community? And so I just want to look through those perspectives from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit when it comes to caring for community. Let's start with God the Father. Why does he care for community? Very simply, because he created community. And he created the community simply means he also owns it. Community is not created by people. Sometimes we think, oh, this community was set up by this group. This community was done by these people. They may have participated, but they didn't create community. It's God who created community. And so because he's the creator of community, he cares about community. He deeply cares for community. What do I mean community, by the way, you may be asking? Community is both people and places. God cares about people. He also cares about the places they are in. Because he created it all. And it was beautiful. He loved it and then placed people in that environment, that place. And he cares for it. In the Bible, whenever there was something that was hurting community, people or places, God cared. He showed up. God the Father, his heart would show up. I think of those times in the Bible, the days of Israel. This was a nation that God had blessed and called out, and he was saying, hey, be an example to the rest. But unfortunately, the nation of Israel went off track, and the leaders began to mistreat the people. They began to be unfair, and there was injustice. And that injustice touched the heart of God. Because he cares about people. He cares about their well-being. And in the book of Amos, there's just one of those chapters where God addresses this injustice and oppression of people because he cares. He says something like this in Amos chapter 5. He's really rebuking the leaders. And then he says this, there are those who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. He says that there are those who hate the one who upholds justice in court and detest the one who tells the truth. This is God speaking to the leaders. You levy a straw tax on the poor. You impose a tax on their grain. You are really harassing people. Not only is there injustice, there's economic oppression. That's what God was addressing. Why? Because he cares. He does care for people. And look at God's desire, what God decides to do when people decide not to care and be unjust and be oppressive to the poor. It says, therefore, you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Judgment. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great your sins are. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. This is recorded over 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. Does it still happen today? Does God still care today? He does. God cares so much about community and the people in community that when there's any form of injustice and oppression, and then we try to come to him in worship, he hates it. Listen, our worship for God cannot be divorced from our care for community. That's why we celebrate Christ, but we also care for community. The leaders of Israel used to oppress people and then come to the synagogue. They came to worship in the temple. And God said, no way. You cannot be coming here to pretend that you are worshiping me and loving me and mistreating the people I care about. In fact, he said he hates it. It's nauseating. In Amos chapter 5 and verses 21 to 24, this is how he said it to them. He said, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. He's speaking to the leaders and the people of Israel who permitted oppression and came and they said they were worshiping. He said, the moment you come together, it's not a sweet-smelling offering. It is a stench. Wow. He says, even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I won't accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. Wow. I will not listen to the music of your harp. It doesn't matter how much we sing and dance. If we don't genuinely care for community, it's all a waste. This is God the Father's heart. Verse 24, he says, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never failing stream. In other words, hey, let your worship be complemented with justice, with caring for community. That's the heart of God the Father. And I've just picked one spot. James 1:27, that's a popular verse for us. The kind of religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. God the Father cares about the community. And if he does, we, God's people, his children, need to care about what our Father cares about. Our journey as a church, when it came to understanding the heart of God to care for community, happened when our founders, Pastors Gary and Marilyn, had a real moment with God. The church was growing and God began to challenge them and say, hey, it's not just the growth of the church that I sent you to Uganda to do. I want you to care for community. And this story is captured in Gary's book, Where Faith Led the Way. And I just want to read that moment that happened for Pastor Gary, our founder, that changed his life and changed church's experience. It's actually in the 15th chapter. Here's what Gary says. Whether you can get a copy of this book, it's such a great book. You'll be encouraged. He says, the Lord hit me with a sledgehammer of simple truth. All my preaching and church building was nothing if I would not stop, if I would not help those he called his own, those he loved with a passion and wanted to rescue through us. How big and beautiful the church, how magnificent our worship and preaching meant so little if we did not care for those that mattered to him. The suffering, the marginalized, the vulnerable around us. Nothing, he says, about my religiosity impressed God. Our denominational heritage was not what mattered to him. Our theological education and training, important as it was, were not paramount. What God was looking for is how much we lived like Jesus and cared for the lost, the least, and the lonely in the place he planted us. He says this truth hit him like a sledgehammer. Watoto family, I pray this truth will hit you as an individual, as a sledgehammer. I pray this truth will hit every pastor and church to recognize that caring for community is the heart of God. But you know what my prayer is as well? That this truth will hit every leader in society. Do you know how Uganda and our world would be different if leaders truly cared for community? God the Father's heart is for community. So should our hearts be. Let's talk about Jesus, God the Son. I already read a text from Matthew 9. You saw how Jesus spent time in the community with the least likely ones. You see, Jesus says this about caring for community. It's an act of compassion. It's not a program. It's not a project. It's an act of compassion. It comes out of the heart. He saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. But secondly, Jesus teaches about caring for community and he says it is practical. Caring for community is not just a good slogan for us. It is something that we do. That's what Jesus was actually teaching in Luke chapter 10. There's a great story where an expert in the law came and asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus says to this expert in the law, "Since you are an expert, tell me what the law says." And the expert in the law is truly an expert. He says, this is what the law says, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. But secondly, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So Jesus says, well, go and do it. But the expert in the law didn't have a problem with loving God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself? That's something he started to think about. So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor that I should love like myself? Tell me about that neighbor. So Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Many of us know it. You know, a man who was on his way got beat by robbers. He was on the ground. And so the first person that came was an expert in the law. He was a priest. The priest came. He says he saw the man who was bitten. You know what he did? He saw but looked on the other side and kept on. He went to teach a Bible study, I think. The next guy who was coming after, the worship leader, a Levite, the ones who conducted worship, the worship leader came singing, saw the man on the ground, must have thought, what song can I write about this situation, and carried on. Moved. And then a very least likely Samaritan came. When he saw, he stopped. When he stopped, he stooped down, nursed the wounds of this man. Didn't know this man. Carried him, put him on his donkey, took him to a safe place, paid the bill, and told the person taking care of him, please do everything you can to care for him. If the bill goes beyond what I've left, I'm coming back tomorrow and I'll clear the bill. And then Jesus said, who of these is a neighbor? Verse 36. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor of the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied. Now, this reply is very political. Because the Samaritans were seen as second rate. The Jews were first class. Jesus uses a Samaritan. For the expert in the law to say the Samaritan would be hard. So listen to his political answer. The one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Be practical. Do you know you don't have to belong to a particular social status to have mercy on people? You just need to carry a heart that cares. Go and do likewise. Because caring for community is not about what you know, but is about what you do. Jesus was telling us it is practical. One time I was walking down the street. Sometimes I like to take walks on the streets and see what's developing, feel where the city is and pray and just look at what's going on. I like to do that. And one time I was taking one of those walks across the road from the building. And as I was walking, observing what shops are changing, what restaurants are coming out, how are people behaving, I like to just go through because it helps me to pray and get in touch. We are in the city. And there came the commuter van, a taxi, and stopped by the side of the road, opened the door, and a young man was thrown outside. And they shut the taxi and off they went. And people looked and said, "What's going on?" And this boy, young man, was on the floor, pretty much unconscious, and he had convulsions. And people on the side began to say, "Oh, what must be happening to this man? What is going on?" Now, while I was there, I had a decision to make. Initially, I said, "I hope somebody does something." That was my first thought. I hope somebody does something. But the people just kept talking and watching and wondering, "Oh, I hope someone can come. Can they call the police or can they?" And he was there and he kept convulsing. And then I prayed. I said, "Oh, Lord, spare this young man's life." But at that point, I felt I cannot behave like everybody else. I need to be practical. So I decided to go and pick the young man from the side of the road. And as I did it, he was having all these fits. As I did it, another church member saw me and he came and we carried the young man, put him on the side. Of course, we're doing all of that while praying. And the people are still around, just all saying, "Oh, how could they do this? How could they throw this guy down?" And so looked at him, stayed and comforted the young man, and he came back to his senses. And so I said, "Hey, young man, what's your name?" We introduced ourselves, and he told us his name. He was headed to school. He was going to college. But he had this condition that caused him to get fits and convulse. And say, "Oh, so sorry about that. You're here. We're your friends." And then he said to us, "Man, I hadn't eaten." So with the church member, we got him. He got up on his feet, walked with him and went and had lunch with him and got to hear his story. But I wonder how many of us actually are truly practical in caring for community. When you go on social media, people are quick to criticize those who are doing something. But also people are quick to call for action and do zero. Needs to change. The church needs to be different. We gotta be people that are practical about caring for community. That's what Jesus said. But it's not just being practical. Do you know there's eternal consequences to caring for community? And I know my time is gone, but let me read you. Matthew 25. Listen, caring for community has eternal significance. Our salvation does, and so does caring for community. Matthew 25. This is what the Bible says. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne," okay? "And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." And here's what's going to happen. "He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, listen, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You did for me. Do you think Jesus pays attention to every act of care for the community? Yes. But not only that, whenever you care for community, you are touching Jesus directly. That's why it's so important. You've seen what God the Father thinks. He has a heart. Jesus teaches on it. God the Holy Spirit, when you read the book of Acts, you will find that when the Holy Spirit is at work in his people, he empowers us to care for community. He does that. Jesus himself said, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to care for set captives free. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit. But also the Holy Spirit stirs our heart of compassion. This is why naturally we cannot care for community. We are very individualistic. We are very selfish. But when we get saved and Holy Spirit works in our heart, he breaks selfishness and helps us to see those around. The song we just sang, open our eyes, move in our hearts, we are ready. That happens through the work of the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk more about it in the next weeks. So, as I land the plane, what does this mean for you and me today? Please understand, my friends, caring for community is an expression of true religion. Like God the Father says, if you want true faith, it has to be backed up by caring for community. But secondly, caring for community is an evangelistic catalyst. Do you know it's easier for you to share Jesus with others when they've seen Jesus in you? When they've felt him, touched him? When you care for community, practically communities open up. One of our fastest growth areas as Watoro Church is because we care for community. People see our practical care and say, that's the church I can trust. That's the church I can participate in. You know, whenever we do a miracle offering and ask people to give, do you know it's not only Watoto church members that give? Once we were following on social media, and there was somebody from the Muslim faith who said, I believe in what that church is doing, and gave. And gave. Something happens. This is what Jesus says. Let your light shine before others. When you care, your light is shining, that they may see your good deeds and they will glorify your Father in heaven. Many people give their hearts to Jesus after they've seen Jesus. Practical in you. Opens the door to share the gospel. It's good to go on the streets and preach, but let me tell you what's better, to preach without words, by just being Jesus to the community. And my final thought for you today when it comes to caring for community is that caring for community is an extension of God's grace. That's what it is about. We are blessed to be a blessing. When we care for community, we're simply saying, hey, God has been so good to us, we cannot help but be so good to others. The reason we love community is because they first loved us. Freely we've received, freely we. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 to 8. Jesus says, as you go, preach, proclaim his message. The kingdom of heaven has come near you. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Because freely you have received, freely give. That's why we care for community. As Pastor James comes up, I just want to remind you, caring for community is God's heart. Jesus taught it and lived it. The Holy Spirit empowers us. But do you know what the greatest act of care for community is? God saw us in our state of sin, extremely helpless. We were drowning in darkness, in fear, in guilt, in shame. We couldn't help ourselves. But because God cares so much for us, he loved us so much that he became practical. He gave his son to pay the penalty and the price for our sin. So that anybody who responds to what Jesus did doesn't have to perish, but have eternal life. And God didn't wait for us to be perfect. The Bible says this is how he demonstrated his love for us. While we were undeserving, still sinners, Christ died for us. That is care, my friend, that can change your life if you respond. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,